You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The mass flooding in Auckland has renewed conversations and calls for the Three Waters reform to continue to completion. The controversial Labour policy has been speculated to be on the chopping block of new PM Chris Hipkins, further supported by the appointment of new Cabinet Minister Karen McNulty to the local government portfolio. However, the devastation caused by the flooding reinstated how badly Tamaki Makaurau needs updated stormwater infrastructure. To learn more about where the reform currently stands and what stormwater infrastructure needs to be put in place, I have spoken to UOA's Timothy Welch, SU Union's Matt Danaher, and MP Simon Court about their respective opinions on the policy. First up is Dr. Timothy Welch, a University of Auckland professor focused on architecture and planning. We had a chat about what infrastructure Auckland needs becomes a sponge city of sorts that could assist in future issues like we had over the weekend.
Well, any city faced with essentially 4 months of rain in a single 24-hour period is going to have a challenge handling that water. But there are a few things we could do to better manage it. First, our network of stormwater pipes is aging. It's really been built out in the 1950s and 60s, and we've just done maintenance to it since then, and a few upgrades here and there. But the best thing we can do is develop an environment that filters the water and contains the water and keeps as much as possible away from the storm system as possible.
Why was Auckland so vulnerable to the floods over the weekend?
Well, part of it is the way that we've built. Since the 1950s and 60s, when we built that stormwater system, we've been paving more land, building more buildings, making more car parks, more roads. All of these things drain the water or hold the water out and force it to be drained into our stormwater system. And as a result, we have to deal with a lot more of that drainage as rains get more intense and more frequent.
How does this link to issues of the contamination that we've been seeing in some of the stormwater and floodwaters?
You know, when our stormwater system gets overwhelmed, it backs up and will often back into the sewage system. And this contamination goes straight out to our beaches and our streams. When we have stormwater, it's usually unfiltered and untreated. And so anytime it gets contaminated with sewage, we get that raw sewage right out onto our beaches. And as a result, we are now seeing most of the beaches around Auckland being unsafe for swimming.
So a large part of what you've suggested in your recent article for The Conversation has pointed out the ability that we could maybe be putting more focus into placing in green spaces, plants and soil and channels for runoff. Why is this so beneficial?
Well, part of the way we built our environment with all these impermeable surfaces or pavement really means that everything has to go through a pipe. So as much as we can make our surfaces more porous, so allowing the water to filter through concrete, that's kind of new types of building material, allow it to be absorbed by trees and plants, and then be retained in pools of water or floodable parks, will allow us to contain a lot of that water, keep it out of the untreated stormwater system. And then we allow nature to do a lot of the filtering as well. So we can avoid flooding and at the same time keep the water a lot cleaner.
Could this also have any effects on the plants themselves? Any possible issues of, well, we shouldn't necessarily be planning for there to be these sorts of events constantly. Is this still an issue of possibly them being to the scale, the plants being overwatered or even destroyed?
Yeah, I mean, you could make an argument that too much water at one time is probably not good for anything, including plants. Our native species are really adjusted to handle kind of variations in water, so we should plan on having a lot more native species planted. So areas that did well over this kind of last recent flooding event like Hobsonville Point in Auckland have 10,000 native species that they planted just as a measure to kind of contain floodwaters and control some of that stormwater.
And how can this be managed with the way that our roads are designed? Because a lot of our road infrastructure, especially out in the far off West Auckland where I actually live, plenty of the roads that I've been living around have been destroyed recently because there is an ample space around them. How can we better redesign these roads to be more sustainable and more less vulnerable to possible future weather events?
You know, there's a few ways that we can make our roads less vulnerable to stormwater. One is the kind of newer types of building material instead of chip seal where we just throw down gravel and put tar over it, making them waterproof but also vulnerable to any kind of rushing water underneath. We can use more porous, slightly more expensive, but in the long term, lower maintenance, porous cement, which will allow the rainwater to filter through. We can also build catchment systems along the roads that will hold water and let it filter into our drain system at a slower rate. And we can build berms around our roads with trees planted along the roads, which will make a pleasant environment, but will also help control some of that flood water.
At the end of this is a lot of these same things that people have been pointing out that would be incorporated within the Three Waters Reform. Do you think that system plays well into what you're suggesting?
Yeah, certainly anytime we're going to put more investment into our system, stormwater system, is going to be a win-win. One thing we have to think about, though, is we're never going to be able to contain massive amounts of rainwater with just pipes. So we need to start taking a more holistic approach to how we plan for the climate of the future, really.
That was Dr. Timothy Welch from the University of Auckland talking about stormwater infrastructure in Tamaki Makaurau and New Zealand in general. Next up in our package discussing Three Waters Reform in the light of Auckland's flooding, I have spoken to ETU Union Director Matt Danaher. ETU and two other general workers unions have recently put out a new press release calling on new local government minister Karen McNulty to continue on with Three Waters. We had a chat about why ETU supports the policy and what they think needs to change.
So ETU has always supported the Three Waters reforms. Essentially, it's about ensuring everyone in New Zealand has clean and safe drinking water, that wastewater is dealt with efficiently, and that, you know, as we've seen over the last few days, we're able to meet the challenge of climate change and deal with stormwater.
Why has there been so much opposition to this proposal?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons, to be honest. I think a lot of it is about the self-interest of certain local governments, bodies, local authorities, because the income they get through the rates to pay for water is a substantial part of their income. The fact is, it seems that they've not even been investing all of that income in water, as you know, you might argue they should do. So I think there's probably a real fear among some of those smaller local councils in particular about what they're actually going to do if they don't have the water income coming straight to them. And I also do think that, to be honest, I think there's a bit of racism there as well around the kind of iwi involvement in the new water service entities.
How has the recent flooding that took place over the weekend, especially in Auckland but across the North Island, been exacerbated due to a lack of stormwater infrastructure?
Well, I mean, one of the things, you know, in Auckland, one of the advantages is we actually have water care, right, which is actually does enable those kind of efficiencies and economies of scale to some extent that we will see with just having four water service entities across the whole country instead of the current 64 providers. The problem is that even that's not enough. Even water care is not big enough to deal with these kind of what were originally maybe once in 100-year events, but I think we're going to increasingly see become once in 10-year, once in 5-year, once a year events. Of significant flooding. The reality is, if you look at Auckland now, let alone some of those Northland councils, you might see, even across a region in a city as big as Auckland, you might see there's only 15 maintenance people, say fitters, on duty across a whole region. That's if you don't have anyone off sick. You've got very small teams of incredibly skilled, hardworking individuals, but there's just not enough of them. The fact is that even an organisation like Watercare can't recruit enough skilled, trained workers to deliver. And it's our hope and our expectation that the water service entities will be able to recruit, train and develop enough staff to actually enable us to, when these kind of things happen, jump into action and resolve issues sooner rather than later. That's ignoring the fact that, you know, we're going to need to think about long-term investment in the size of, you know, pipes and things like that to allow water to run off, and, you know, increasing the number of drains and things. And yeah, I mean, there's such a huge amount of work to be done. I mean, how any single local authority could actually hope to future-proof themselves for the next sort of 10, 20, 30, 40 years as these things get worse and more common. You know, just I just don't understand. There's no alternative. No sensible alternatives have been put forward to what the government's proposing to the water service entities. So it's certainly our hope that the new minister cracks on with what's already happening. And, you know, we certainly wouldn't want to see the reshuffle as an opportunity for pausing what's happening with Three Waters and listening to some of those noisy oppositional voices. I think the government's been brave to do this. And they need to crack on with it.
Some people have pointed out that the level of rain seen over the weekend couldn't have been assisted by any water system, let alone Three Waters. Do you agree that nothing could have been done?
I don't know about whether nothing could have been done. You know, I mean, I think it would have been nice to have, you know, a kind of person responsible who wasn't more interested in playing tennis than dealing with the floods. I would say that it's true that there's always going to be events that no matter what you've got in place, they knock you for six. They take you by surprise and they cause many more problems than you expected. And this could well have been one of those events, right? We may well have still seen significant flooding and death, loss of life and everything else that comes with it. You know, people dealing with sewage in their living rooms and things. But the reality is that we need big organisations with big economies of scale and efficiencies to be able to deal with the effects of these. You know, yes, it may not have stopped it from being a huge disruptive influence like this. You know, some of the insurance companies already talking about it as being for them more significant than the Canterbury earthquake. Well, yes, obviously it's clearly a big event, right? But the fact is, we know that larger organisations are better able to deal with these kind of things and help us invest in the future for people.
So after the weekend, we probably saw, at least in my lifetime, the most amount of criticism that I think that I've ever seen made towards a local government minister or mayor, in the sense of Wayne Brown's criticism for a lack of communication and lack of direction with the handling of Auckland's floods. Do you think that as Mayor Brown is also a strong opponent of Three Waters, we could see some more people on the opposition or just more young people come up and oppose opposition to Three Waters?
Yeah, I think certainly that would be, I would hope that the kind of people that listen to your radio station who maybe had doubts about Three Waters or hadn't really thought about it or actually were opposed to it might well think again and see that the opposition is disjointed and kind of nonsense, doesn't really make any sense if you look at it as a rational kind of person who's got to live in our society, right? The fact is, this is about ensuring we all have safe and clean drinking water that we can manage our stormwater problem. And having these big publicly owned organisations, the water service entities, which will have, in which local authorities will have huge democratic input, and we'll also acknowledge the role of iwi in protecting our water as well, but also be able to employ thousands of people that you need, and thousands more people that we're probably going to need in the future to actually deliver healthy, safe, clean drinking water and manage our stormwater problems. I just think it's really thrown this into stark relief, really, the need for joined up thinking and big organisations that are able to step up and deal with things. And the fact is that if the water service entity had been in place, I feel like the mayor of Auckland would have actually had a bit more free time to play tennis and do other things, as well as managing the response, because actually there would have been another entity that was taking on a large responsibility around that.
That was Etu Union Director Matt Danaher chatting about why they support the Three Waters reform in the wake of Auckland's flooding. Lastly, in this package, I have spoken to ACT Party MP Simon Court about why their party continues to oppose Three Waters in the face of this weekend's disaster. ACT has consistently opposed the Three Waters reform, so I checked in about if their view has changed at all and what they still think needs to be done to further improve our stormwater infrastructure. Here's that interview now.
When you look at where the floods have had their worst impact, it's in areas where the stormwater infrastructure was overwhelmed and where the water couldn't get away. If you jump on Auckland Council's GIS web viewer and you click on the layer that says floodplains, you will see that a lot of the places that flooded are already identified as being a flood risk. So if you think about what that means for a growing city like Auckland, you'd say, well, if we're going to encourage more development, more intensification, then we need to get the wastewater, the stormwater systems, and all of that supporting infrastructure up to standard so that we can enable housing growth, business growth, and that we can all lead more productive lives.
So that links very strongly to what the Labor government has been proposing over the past couple of years with Three Waters by redeveloping the entire country's stormwater, wastewater and drinking water infrastructure, placing, I believe this might be wrong, $2.5 billion into this fund. But the ACT Party has been quite oppositional to this. Could you just quickly remind our listeners what the ACT Party's main problems are with Three Waters?
Well, Liam, it's really interesting that you offer the Labor Party view that they're actually going to be investing in Three Waters infrastructure. What ACT says and what stakeholders around the country have told me is actually local councils know where the drainage problems are. I worked in Auckland Council. I attended many meetings with stormwater engineers and others who knew exactly where the problems were. The problem they have is how do you get funding, how do you get a revenue stream to actually improve the capacity of the stormwater system, for example, and then enable land development, housing development. Those are integrated functions at a local level. Now, ACT says, look, it's clear that there is a reform needed. There is improvements needed in the way we deliver drinking water, wastewater and stormwater infrastructure. But the Three Waters proposal advanced by the Labor government is not going to work. It's centralisation into four entities rather than localisation, actually going back to the councils that have responsibility for fixing things in their areas. The other problem that ACT has with the Three Waters reform is that it introduces a very complex co-governance relationship for these entities, which the minister responsible until recently, Nanaimo Huda, hasn't been able to make an adequate case for. So then we think about the $2.4 billion. Well, the money that Labor has put into the Three Waters reforms, of which they've already spent over $500 million, has gone into making law, bribing councils with better off funding that's not allowed to be used for Three Waters. It can be used for swimming pools and libraries, but not Three Waters. And the remainder of the funding Labor's putting in is called no worse off funding. And that's where they say for councils that have lost their engineer, if they've only got one who deals with water and roads and, say, structures and buildings, the no worse off funding will help councils deal with the consequences of having their water infrastructure, their water assets, and all of those people and resources taken off them.
The reason that they have been not putting as much money into building the infrastructure has largely been due to the pushback that has come from councils, whereas if it was a more put-together view where everyone was agreeing on the system, it could have been far further along and maybe in a better place for the Auckland floods. But there have been issues with Auckland and the rest of the country's stormwater infrastructure for years, for 10 years, 9 years, in which councils, arguably, when they haven't really been doing a great job at taking care of their stormwater infrastructure in the first place, why is it not fair enough for the central government to step in and try and reform these issues?
You always need to have adequate stormwater and wastewater when you're intensifying housing in urban environments or when you're adding new housing in greenfields areas. And so if you drive out of Auckland and you go to some of the newer suburbs, you'll see nice new roads, and under the roads are nice new pipes, and they all lead to proper stormwater ponds. But if you look at the older parts of the city and parts of the city that were developed decades ago, the infrastructure is not up to the capacity of the level of housing intensification, whether that's medium or high-rise or just adding more houses, subdividing each section, adding more houses for infill. So then what do you do about it? You say, well, look, what X is that councils should have the incentive that for every new build they consent, they get to keep half the GST on the build cost. At the moment, central government gets all of the revenue from all of the tax revenue from new builds. Council has to wait to recover its costs for infrastructure over decades and decades through property rates, through property taxes and rates. Act says, look, give councils half the GST for every new build as soon as the build's complete.
So
that will cash flow infrastructure.
So a big part of this is the reason why there are issues with three waters is just because not as much money might be made?
Yeah, it's not as much money available to councils in the past, but a lot of that is because the incentive structures are wrong. And what Act says is, look, if central government's prepared to share some of the revenue from building and construction costs with local government that currently has all of the costs associated with that, local government should be prepared to sign up to a 30-year agreement with central government, a 30-year infrastructure plan.
And kind of back to going with another one of the issues that you brought up earlier about Three Waters being co-governance. You mentioned that the now former local government minister, Nana Yamahuta, hadn't made a good case for co-governance, which is arguable, but I'm not going to get into that. What is your actual case against co-governance? What's the issue? How are people going to not benefit from this?
Well, here's the thing. What Labor has proposed for the Three Waters is creating two layers of governance over water entities, essentially big water corporations, state-owned water corporations. And so, well, what kind of organisational business has two layers of governance? That's one problem. And then you say, well, how come on one of those governance entities, half the people are appointed are going to be appointed because of who their grandparents were, who have actually no technical business or other knowledge that could be applied to running that kind of organisation? And then you think from a rights-based point of view, say, well, what's the legal basis for actually allocating these additional rights to a group of people based on who their ancestors were? So there's none. What we need to do is focus on what communities need, and that is better stormwater infrastructure so that we can infill, upgrade, upzone, build up, and actually deliver more affordable homes and more fun communities to live in because there's more people living there.
I mean, you do say that you're trying to push the focus towards communities, but you mentioned earlier that it was places who were at a stronger flood risk that unsurprisingly had the biggest impacts from the floods, a lot of it in West Auckland and South Auckland, a lot of places that are predominantly Māori and iwi, which is kind of why there's been this focus being towards making sure that there is that equity in place to support them at the same level that, say, somewhere in Takapuna or somewhere in Central Auckland might have that same level. There hasn't been that much funding towards these other places and why there are issues with that.
Yeah, I don't understand why people think that, because they haven't actually peeled the next layer of the onion. If you look at where the flooding has occurred, and I look out where I live in West Auckland, nearby, Ranui, Swanson, Henderson Valley, now those areas receive a huge amount of stormwater coming off the Waitakere Ranges and the foothills of the ranges. They channel down through subdivisions that were built in the 60s, 70s and 80s without adequate stormwater infrastructure. Now those are technical problems. They can be solved with planning, design, money and construction workers going out there and fixing it. And it's also not correct to say that these problems are only limited to communities that are essentially low income or deprived areas. I mean, you have to look at where some of the other major flooding that caused real public safety issues has occurred. You look at Remuera, Shore Road, you look at the huge slips all around Ōraki, Parnell, that have closed the Parnell bars because cliffs have fallen down, houses are teetering on the brink. Or if you look at the Northern Motorway, where the express busway was closed because of flooding at Esmond Road. Now, I mean, flooding at Esmond Road is because when they developed that part of the North Shore and they were tipping a whole lot of rubbish in the estuaries and in the foreshore around there, they blocked the natural flow paths for stormwater to get away. These are simply technical issues that can be solved with good planning, good design, allocating the funds from an ongoing revenue stream, and getting out there and giving construction workers the right plans and getting them to fix it.
Lastly, if you guys have your issues with Three Waters and the way that it's being implemented, but we also don't have the strongest confidence in local government's ability to manage these things, what does the ACT Party suggest to fix our stormwater and wastewater and also drinking water infrastructure?
Well, if we start with drinking water, it's true that there are communities around New Zealand whose drinking water is not up to scratch. ACT supported for and voted for the Water Services Bill, which set up the drinking water regulator known as Taumata Aroai. Their job starts officially on 1 July 2023, and ACT will be following up to make sure that Taumata Aroai is actually delivering on their obligations to check that drinking water supply to communities is safe. So we would say, tick, drinking water done, let's move on and look at wastewater and stormwater infrastructure. So around New Zealand, we're concerned that water quality in rivers and harbours, coastal areas, is impacted by wastewater discharges from council-owned primarily treatment plants, which as the communities have grown, haven't increased capacity or our expectations around our environment, our ability to swim and all these things has changed. So they need to be upgraded. Where does money come from? Currently it's only ratepayers. And these things are very, very expensive, half billion dollar pieces of kit. So ACT has said, look, we can fund these things long term by actually sharing half the GST on all new builds with local council on the basis that it is actually applied to infrastructure. And that would have to be through an agreed 30-year infrastructure plan between central and local government. And then we think about stormwater. Well, stormwater is actually something that starts at the top of the hill and ends up in the sea in New Zealand, typically. And how it gets there, whether it's across farmland or through parks or through people's urban communities, is something that requires, you know, detailed evaluation. You've got to look at your catchment modelling, you've got to look at your rainfall intensity models, and you've got to work out how big the pipes need to be. And where or where you should not allow people to build in areas that are flood prone and hazardous. Now, this is a problem for councils, not just in New Zealand, but around the world, because as we've got better and better knowledge, we've worked out some of the places we let people build were a bit sketchy. And so that's why, you know, Waitakere Council, for example, before amalgamation, spent tens of millions of dollars of ratepayers' money buying back people's private property and removing the homes that were in floodplains around places like Corbin Ave, Henderson. These are all difficult decisions, but they can be made using the tools we've got now, good investigation, planning, design, looking at different funding models, coming up with a business case for investment. What's missing is that funding stream. That's why ACT thinks local councils should get 50% of the GST on all new bills, so they've got a funding stream.
That was ACT Party MP and spokesperson for infrastructure and local government, Simon Court, chatting about why they opposed Three Waters in the wake of the Auckland flooding. Before that interview, I spoke to UOA Professor Timothy Welch and ETU Union Director Matt Danaher about why they support Three Waters.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.